Michio Kaku is a professor of physics at the City University of New York, co-founder of string field theory, and the author of several widely acclaimed science books, including Hyperspace, Beyond Einstein, Physics of the Impossible, and Physics of the Future. His latest, Quantum Supremacy, is a tour of humanity's next great technological achievement, quantum computing, which may eventually illuminate the deepest mysteries of science and solve some of humanity's biggest problems like global warming, world hunger, and incurable disease. The quantum computer, which harnesses the power and complexity of the atomic realm, already promises to be every bit as revolutionary as the transistor and microchip once were. Its unprecedented gains in computing power herald advancements that could change every aspect of our daily lives. Michio Kaku says there is not a single problem humanity faces that could not be addressed by quantum computing. The new book is Quantum Supremacy, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Michio Kaku back to the roundtable. Thank you so much for being with us. What a great pleasure to have you.
Glad to be on the show.
Always nice to have you here. How the quantum computer revolution will change everything is the subtitle of the book. How does that not become an overstatement?
Well, think of the development of the computer itself. When the computer first came on the scene, it was a bunch of gears, pulleys, ropes. It was a museum piece, basically. For thousands of years, we computed on these levers and wheels. And then during World War II, we began to use electricity, and the transistor changed everything. Think of what the transistor has done to modern society. That's stage two. Now we're beginning to enter stage three, where we replace the digital computer with a quantum computer that is perhaps millions of times more powerful than a digital computer. This could literally change everything.
So explain to me, if you can, of course you can, but explain so that I can understand it, I guess is what I'm asking, of the fact that the microchip now seems to be, the success of that is reaching its end, and now we're going into quantum computing. So what does that progress look like? What does that changeover, that transformation look like?
Well, Silicon Valley could become a rust belt. We're talking about the fact that we can now put a billion transistors on a chip the size of your fingernail. That means that each transistor is maybe, 50 atoms or so across. That's hitting the limit of what we can do with atoms. We cannot cram more and more atoms into a smaller area before we bump up against the quantum theory, and that's what's happening now. Moore's law says that computer power doubles every 18 months. The world economy depends upon Moore's law. However, Moore's law is slowing down, and eventually it'll come to a halt. So the computers are not twice as powerful as the previous Christmas. Now, would you buy a computer knowing that this year's Christmas, the computer is exactly the same as last year's Christmas computer? Probably not. Which means that there could be a tremendous revolution taking place in computers because people want more and more power. But we're coming up against a brick wall, and that is the quantum theory. Therefore, why not build a computer based on the quantum theory? Rather than keeping on bumping into the quantum theory, why not use Mother Nature's quantum theory to build the next generation of computers? When you go outside the door, and you see birds and flowers and trees and all the wonders of nature, you realize that they're not computing like a digital computer on transistors. Mother Nature does not compute on zeros and ones, zeros and ones, zeros and ones. Mother Nature is a quantum computer that uses the power of the atom in order to make computations. And that's why Mother Nature is infinitely more powerful than our most powerful computer.
You write in the book that automotive makers, medical researchers, consulting firms are just a few of the industries, but they're really top three, let's say, that are looking at quantum computing as something that could be amazing for their future.
Right. Let's just take one avenue, for example. Take a look at medicine. How do we find new drugs? Do we do it systematically or do we do it by trial and error? Believe it or not, new drugs are found by trial and error. One way of finding new drugs is to have thousands of petri dishes. You put a little bit of disease in each petri dish, and then you put the chemical that you hope will kill the germ in these petri dishes, and it's hit or miss. That's how we find new drugs. It's painful, it's clumsy, and it's very expensive. Why not look at the molecule itself, find the weak spots of the germ, and then hit it? And that's what Mother Nature does. Mother Nature destroys germs not by trial and error and having thousands of petri dishes. Mother Nature attacks germs by looking at their molecular weak spots. And that's the promise of molecular medicine. Medicine without having to experiment on people. But we're talking about medicine based on quantum mechanics rather than trial and error, which is so clumsy, so slow, and not very reliable.
It seems impossible to read any news source online or otherwise that does not talk about in some way, shape, or form the promises of artificial intelligence and AI. You write in your book, in the end, the union of AI and quantum computers may open up entirely new avenues of research. Perhaps the key to artificial intelligence lies in the quantum theory. In fact, the merger of the two may revolutionize every branch of science, alter our lifestyle, and radically change the economy. Talk to me about how those two can merge together and really why we're hearing so much about AI and hearing less about quantum computing.
Well, right now, AI is hit center stage because it's beginning to enter into the marketplace. Quantum computers are not there yet, and that's why AI is getting all the publicity. But you see, AI is a revolution in software. That is, the programming language becomes more sophisticated as it handles more data. As a consequence, there are limitations to what AI can do. AI needs guardrails in order to protect ourselves from the excesses and mistakes made by AI, because AI is a software program. However, quantum computers is the opposite. Quantum computers is a hardware question. We're talking about the nuts and bolts of computational power, raw computational power that exists within quantum computers. So we need the two together. We need AI to give us the software to guide us so that we can create artificial intelligence. But we're up against a brick wall. There's not enough computer power to create guardrails to protect ourselves from the excesses of AI and the mistakes that AI makes. That's where quantum computers can come in, because quantum computers is a hardware question. It's the nuts and bolts of what actually does the computation. That's where quantum computers come in. So the union of the two, that's the point. Union of the two, where software is done by AI, but the hardware that does the nitty-gritty is done by quantum computers.
When it comes to those quantum computers, and you talk about this in the book, there is always the problem of the unknown and unexpected factors which are difficult to model. What are we seeing in regards to the challenges that quantum computing is going up against?
Well, the CIA is very much interested in quantum computers because quantum computers are so powerful that in principle, perhaps in 5-10 years, in principle, they're powerful enough to break any known digital code. That is the crown jewels of the CIA or any government is the codes. The codes that control nuclear weapons, the military, codes that control the inner workings, the top secret inner workings of a government. However, a quantum computer can, in principle, break into any known digital code. I repeat, any known digital code used by nations and the CIA and the FBI can be broke into a quantum computer, which is not digital, okay? For example, a digital computer computes on zeros and ones, zeros and ones, zeros and ones. When you look at computer code on a sheet of paper, what does it look like? Just a string of zeros and a string of ones. That's not Mother Nature. Mother Nature does not compute with zeros and ones. Mother Nature computes with anything in between zeros and ones. And how many numbers are there between zero and one? Infinite. So you see the power of Mother Nature, the power of quantum computers, and that's why the CIA is very much interested in how advanced quantum computers will become. In other words, it's a race against time. The Chinese, the Russians, the Americans, they're all trying to bet on what the next generation of computers will look like, because they'll be so powerful they can break into any known digital code and steal the crown jewels of any intelligence agency. So we're talking about some very heavy consequences. The federal government has even issued a directive saying that, well, it's still early, but we should be prepared for the time when quantum computers can break into any known digital code.
I mean, incredible consequences indeed. You end your book by talking about quantum puzzles. It's part of the epilogue, and you ask the question, is the universe a quantum computer? That makes my brain hurt.
Yeah, well, let me explain. Einstein, of course, gave us a series of equations, actually very simple. You could put them on a sheet of paper, that govern black holes, that govern the Big Bang and the creation of the universe itself. However, we want a theory of everything that explains not just the Big Bang, but everything else. That's where string theory comes in, which is what I do for a living. But we're up against a brick wall. We humans are not smart enough to solve the equations of string theory. Therefore, the hope is that with quantum computers, they have enough computing power to solve the equations of the universe itself. That's how I got into it. I'm a physicist. I'm not a computer programmer. But I see that physics is up against a brick wall. That is, the equations are so complicated now that no human can solve them. So we may have to have a computer powerful enough to break into the secrets of Mother Nature. For example, this already happened when we discussed a proton. A proton is a rather simple subatomic particle, but to calculate it, we have to use gigantic computers using what is called lattice field theory. So already a huge chunk of particle physics is not done by hand. We have this image of scientists working on a blackboard, putting equations on the blackboard, right? That's the image that we have. Well, the equations are so complicated now that even a computer is barely powerful enough to solve the equations for a simple proton. Now we're looking at the universe itself. And that's how I got involved with this whole question. Eventually, it may take a gigantic quantum computer to solve the problem of the creation of the universe.
So let me end with this question. When we were talking about AI, you said that AI is garnering these headlines because it's hit the market. So realistically, in given your experience and your work on this, what is realistic to think of when this could hit the market?
Well, for years and years, AI was a subject of science fiction and the butt of comedians. People used to joke at how clumsy these robots were and the fact that we're so far away from creating Terminator-like robots, okay? Well, now, of course, computers are becoming more powerful, and that's why it's hit public consciousness. Now, lots of people are writing articles about the philosophy and the impact of AI on society. But for decades, it was a laughingstock. Same thing with quantum computers. Quantum computers right now are still in its infancy. In 5 to 10 years, we expect it to mature. And at that point, we can begin to tackle problems of energy, cancer, longevity, Parkinson's disease. All the things that are way outside the domain of ordinary computers we'll be able to tackle with quantum computers. So just the same way that AI was hiding in the bushes for so many decades and now has jumped into public consciousness. Quantum computers also are still lurking in the bushes, but when it hits the marketplace, that's when it changes everything. Energy, medicine, cancer, all these things are subject to quantum computers because that's the language of Mother Nature. Mm. Mother Nature does not speak in terms of zeros and ones, zeros and ones, zeros and ones. That's what computers do. Mother Nature computes in terms of atoms and the quantum, and that's where the next revolution is going to take place.
Michio Kaku is the author of the new book, Quantum Supremacy, How the Quantum Computer Revolution Will Change Everything. The book is now out in paperback. Michio Kaku, thank you so much for joining us once again. It's always a delight to speak with you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Quantum Supremacy. It's published by Doubleday. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.